Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Now, today, folks, I just want to warn you that there could be a lot of triggered people out there across America. And I'm talking about Elon Musk getting ready to buy Twitter. Looks like Twitter is rethinking their decision to reject his offer. And Elon Musk, by the end of the day, could very well be the new proprietor of Twitter. At this very moment, you've got the hashtag leaving Twitter. That's trending right now, with all these liberals threatening to bolt to some other platform that does not appreciate free speech. And we don't know where that is. Maybe CNN minus. I don't know. So we're going to be following those developments today. You know, a lot of you folks have departed Twitter for other confines. There's what? Parler, Gab, Getter, Truth Social. Any of you folks, have any of you guys been able to actually open an account on Truth Social yet? You know, I feel bad for Donald Trump. I feel really bad for President Trump because here he is putting all of this time, this money, this effort into a social media platform, and it's just not working. I mean, maybe it's going to work. I don't know, but there are people who have literally been on the waiting list for months trying to get on Truth Social. So we'll keep tabs on all of that as we move through the day. Also, some big political news. President Trump in Ohio over the weekend doing one of the big Trump rallies. Looked like a pretty good-sized crowd out there. And the president is pushing back against these accusations that J.D. Vance is not a true Make America Great Again guy. Now, we know that J.D. Vance, up until, what, about a year ago, has been rabidly anti-Trump, and he once compared President Trump to Hitler, and he hates all of you MAGA supporters. He says that you people are a bunch of rednecks, and you're racist, and you're white supremacists. Not a big fan of all you folks out there, but the president, President Trump, came out over the weekend. And he said, hey, look, you know, I'm vouching for this guy, and I believe he's turned over a new leaf. And the president went on to say that, in this great soundbite, the president went on to say that, you know what, if I turn my back on everybody who said something bad about me, then I wouldn't be able to endorse anybody. And I suppose that's a fair point. But at the same time, I do wonder if J.D. Vance is being authentic. You know, if he is really going to stand alongside the president, I don't know. I genuinely do not know. You know, a lot of these folks have said some pretty horrible things about Donald Trump, and I'm not sure I believe the conversion experiences that I've been hearing. Also, there was a big debate over the weekend in Georgia between Brian Kemp, who is the sitting governor, and he's being challenged by David Perdue, the senator who lost his reelection bid to John Ossoff. And it was a pretty ugly fight as the two were going toe to toe. And the big concern that people have there in Georgia is that David Perdue did not get a bump from the big Trump rally a few weeks back, the one that I was honored to speak to. And that's a problem. And the question is, why is it that David Perdue did not get a bump? Somebody sent me an interesting note. They live in the Atlanta area. And they said, Todd, one of the big issues is that while Brian Kemp just really blew it on the election and election integrity, the reality is that he did a good job on the shutdowns and ending the shutdowns and reopening the businesses and reopening the schools and getting Georgia back to work. And these same people are very upset at President Trump's policies, his China virus policies, while he was still in office, the policies that led to the shutdowns. I mean, this is the argument coming from the other side. So you've got a lot of people in Georgia who say, you know what? We know that Kemp can win a statewide election, and we do believe that he would be the best person to beat Stacey Abrams. But it seems to me that the debate was really over who could beat Stacey Abrams. And if you're having that debate, that race may already be lost. I mean, we're talking about Stacey Abrams, who is what, a romance novelist and the president of Planet Earth and Star Trek? And you're talking about who is the best person to beat Stacey Abrams? And I'm curious, I know we have lots of radio stations in Georgia that carry this program, and I'm curious to know, for you folks, who is your guy here? Because ultimately, this race in Georgia could decide whether or not President Trump runs for re-election in 2024. And the same thing is playing out right now in the state of Pennsylvania, where you've got Dr. Oz, who has, again, been a staunch and fierce never-Trumper. Dr. Oz, by the way, having a debate, and he's going to have to answer why he is pro-transgender, why he is pro-abortion. These are questions that Dr. Oz is going to have to face, because the average Republican is not pro-abortion. The average Republican is not supporting these radical sex and gender policies. So there is, at this moment, from border to border, coast to coast, a debate happening within the Republican Party. And the debate is very simple. Are you an establishment Republican, or are you a Trump Republican? That seems to be the two branches. Do you go along with the Mitt Romneys and the Liz Cheneys of the party, or do you support these MAGA candidates that are out there? Now, we've got a lot of folks wanting to weigh in on this today. I do want to go to the phones, because we have a couple of folks from Georgia that are on the lines. First, let's go to Vicky listening to us on WDUN in Georgia. All right, Vicky, who is your pick in the governor's race?
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for taking my call. And my pick is neither of the boys. They are both. They're two sides of the same coin. Everywhere else except in the Atlanta area is Candace Taylor.
Now, Candace Taylor is, in fact, running. I believe she's from Georgia, Baxley, Georgia. Why does she have your support?
Because she has been an educator. She is not part of the old Rhino crowd, and she is all for the conservative things that Georgia loves. Georgia loves the Constitution. They love guns. They think that abortion should be taken off the table because it's not a right thing. She's a Christian. It's all good. She's all good. And I don't know that she will win. She could probably win the primary because her name will be on it.
And we're talking about Dr. Candace Taylor, by the way. I love her slogan, Jesus, Guns, and Babies, Morality.
You got it.
Morality over money.
You got it. And I think she is probably the one. I hope she wins.
Okay, Vicky, I'm curious, though, what about David Perdue? He's got the backing of Donald Trump.
It doesn't matter who Donald Trump backs to me. It matters what the individual candidate says.
Now, that's an
interesting... Trump can back anybody he wants. So can I.
Now, that is an interesting thought, Candace and Vicky, because I do wonder, at the end of the day, how much of that is going to be an impact for voters, who Donald Trump endorses, who anybody endorses.
I think endorsements are way gone. Nobody needs to endorse anybody anymore. It's just all lip service.
All right.
And somebody's probably telling Trump, as they're doing their research, who to endorse. And so somebody's feeding him the information, too. And I love Donald Trump, but Candace Taylor's got my vote.
All right. Noted, Vicky. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Ella J, Georgia, our good buddy Joe from Ella J. All right, Joe, you watched the debates yesterday. What was your takeaway?
I thought David Perdue was fantastic. I would not only vote for David Perdue for governor of Georgia, I'd vote for him for president of the United States. Donald Trump has endorsed him. He's run two Fortune 500 companies. I know him very well. I've spent hours discussing politics with him. He is a free enterprise champion, and I'd vote for him for president. I think Trump has made a wise decision, and I think you will see when this 2000 Mule movie comes out in the next 10 days that it will put him way. I think Perdue will win a landslide victory when it's over, and I am so fired up, Todd, and I'm glad to be on your national show, and I want to predict that David Perdue will win and will win the resounding victory and will be one of the best governors in history for the hardworking Georgia taxpayer.
It seems to me that David Perdue, right out of the gate, framed what this campaign is all about. He said this is about a stolen election. Brian Kemp says that basically he called out Trump without calling out Trump, saying that, you know, he was a bad politician, that Trump lost the race himself. Do you believe that's a winning formula, that the biggest issue on the minds of Georgia voters, Joe, is the election of 2020?
I definitely do, and I think it was total fraud. I think when I met with David privately back in October, he said, Joe, I want to show you where Trump and I both won Georgia. And I said, David, you don't have to convince me. I believe it. And I think when this 2000 Mules movie comes out by Denise D'Souza, it'll be out next Wednesday and Friday. I think it will help David Perdue win a resounding victory and all Trump-endorsed candidates. I'm pretty much for all the Trump-endorsed candidates. I think Trump's the best president in history. And so I think, David, you'll see David move way up in the polls very shortly. In fact, I would say within 10 days from now, well, let's say after May the 6th, the election's May 24th, I will say by May the 10th, David will be well ahead in the polls, in my opinion. And I'm not against the other guy. I'm just strongly for David Perdue. He's a very good friend of mine, and I totally believe in him. And you know, Trump believes in him, and I think he's got a lot of support. People don't realize the support he's got. But, Todd, I'm fired up. I'm energized. And
all right.
Let
me jump in here. No, I hear you, and I see that you're fired up. My question, though, and really this is a question for for the national audience here, folks. Do you believe that the midterm elections are all about what happened at the ballot box in 2020? Is that going to be the winning formula for conservatives? Joe, appreciate the call. We've got a skedaddle here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. I also want to remind you, before we go to break, big event coming up this coming Saturday, Memphis, Tennessee, the Culture Engagement Summit. We've got Republicans, conservative lawmakers from all over America, Marsha Blackburn, Rick Scott, Mark Meadows, Ryan Helfenbein from Liberty University, Senator Marsha Blackburn, and yours truly. We're going to be speaking, leading workshops on how you can take back your community for America. And we want you to be a part of this. Go to citizensforamericafoundation.com if you want to register. You can also go to our live show blog and find all the information there. We want to see you this coming Saturday. We'll be right back, folks.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Hi there, Todd Starnes here, and I want you to look around, folks. The bad guys have gained way too much ground. Now more than ever, we need to take a stand for the America we love and for the values we share. My friends at AMAC can help you do just that. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. They're standing up for you and for the future of America. AMAC is the conservative voice for mature Americans, and they stand up for the causes that all freedom-loving Americans share. By joining AMAC, you'll combine efforts with over 2.3 million members who share your values, and you'll get exclusive benefits like discounts on travel, cell phone plans, and much more. Go to amac.us/starnes and join or renew today. I'm a proud member, and for just $16 a year, you can be one too. It's time to protect faith, family, and freedom. Join AMAC today by going to amac.us/starnes and take a stand for America. I'm just telling you, folks, I think Georgia is going to be the bellwether state here. And if you throw in Pennsylvania, look, just think about this. You've got Georgia, Pennsylvania. If the Trump-endorsed candidates don't win there, you're thinking, okay, what is this going to look like come 2024? Not to mention that a lot of people are still not buying what Kevin McCarthy is saying. Now, President Trump is a, I got to tell you something, this President Trump is a gracious man. The fact that he's out there endorsing people like J.D. Vance, who called him Hitler, yeah, that says something. I don't know that I could do that. And at the same time, the president still says he still believes in Kevin McCarthy, even though McCarthy was caught lying about what he said about the president in the aftermath of January the 6th. So I trust Donald Trump only because he's been a man of his word. But Kevin McCarthy and all these others, they would just as soon sell their mother down the river. All right, let's go to the phones here. Susan in Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. All right, Susan, what say you?
Hi, Todd. Good afternoon. Listen to your show. Love your input. I'm an independent voter, and I'm a strong-minded woman, and I am for Brian Kemp. I believe he is going to be our next governor. He beat Stacey Abrams the first time around. He kept our state open. He brings businesses into Georgia. He really cares about the Georgians. And I do agree with Trump's policies, but I don't think his endorsement is going to make a hoot or hill of beans to Brian Kemp losing the governor's race. And that's my take on it.
Susan, does that say anything about your support for Donald Trump that you're endorsing Brian Kemp?
I'm going to be honest. Whenever he announced he was running for president, I was not anti-Trump, but I was actually for Marco Rubio. However, once he did become president, I feel like Donald Trump is one of the best presidents this country has ever seen. However, I feel like it's time for some new blood. I'm a Ron DeSantis proponent, and I believe that President Trump should stay out this time and let some new blood take over.
Now, this is interesting. This is very interesting, Susan, because you're not the first person I've heard say that, that they love Donald Trump. They thought he did a terrific job in the White House. He showed the Republicans how to fight. But now it's time to bring in the next generation.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Susan, appreciate the call there. And folks, there may be some of you out there who believe, like Susan believes, that it's Ron DeSantis' time. You got to hand it to Ron DeSantis. He's out there fighting tooth and nail. I have never seen a Republican governor fight like Ron DeSantis has fought. And he's taken on everybody. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's get to Russell in Gainesville, Georgia. Russell, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Todd. Love your show.
Thank you.
Here in Georgia, I just look around and I feel like those who go by a name of a Baptist or a Christian or a church person really need to get on the same page concerning election time now, because it's more critical than it's ever been, you know, and these local elections all the way up to governor. I agree with L.J. Joe. I think Nathan Deal is a fantastic candidate. I think he has flown pretty straight in Congress and pretty well held to his, campaign speeches. And I just think they're there, and we got to work this thing all the way up to the president, because the most terrifying church hymn that did not make the Baptist hymnal. Have you heard that one?
I haven't, Russell, but let's get to it. We're running tight on time.
Yes, sir. It's called Abidin' with Me.
Oh, geez, Aloo. That's, goodness gracious. All right, Russell, thank you for that. I'll be sure to remember that in church on Sunday. Jeez, Aloo. No, I have no problem with these great primaries, and I think that's good. You sort things out, and then everybody's got to get on the same page. But I'm not seeing everybody get on the same page. I am seeing shenanigans happen. Shenanigans even happening on the local level, involving establishment Republicans trying to declare war on conservatives. I got a problem with that. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. trend since November of last year, the stock market has plummeted, but gold has been on the rise. Gas prices are insane. The stock market extremely volatile. Inflation is even worse than it was last year, and now we have a war with Russia and Ukraine that could spread to the rest of the world. The markets do not like instability. The good news, you have options. Gold prices are rising as investors turn to gold for protection. Gold provides a hedge against inflation and protects against a weakening dollar. Legacy Precious Metals is the only company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You need an investment that will protect your wealth and retirement. Be proactive while there's still time. Remember 2008? Those invested in gold saw huge gains while others lost their retirements. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you on all of your options for investing in gold and silver. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals, 866-528-1903, or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. All right, folks, so President Trump tossing a few thoughts out there about Fox News Channel. And what's really gotten lost in this controversy, you know, last Friday we exposed Piers Morgan for who he really is. The guy is a liar. He is a phony. Maybe worst of all, he's British. I don't know why we keep letting this guy back into America. But we do. He and I got into a big Twitter scuffle on Friday after the show. But anyway, Piers Morgan, with this Fox Nation show coming out, where he's attacking Donald Trump, and he's flat out lying about Trump. But, you know, Morgan says, mate, he just stormed out of the meeting, and that was it. He said horrible things about me. No, he did not, Piers Morgan. And we know that because a member of the Trump communications team was actually recording all of it. And they were smart enough to know not to trust Piers Morgan or anybody from Fox Nation. So now we've got Piers Morgan out there, and we've got him to goods. And yet Piers Morgan coming out, and he's still defending himself against the proof showing he is, in fact, a liar.
When we got round to the election result and to January 6th,
you told
and
him
I
he
just
lost.
Looked him straight in the eye. I said, look, I just want to be clear with you. I do not agree that you had this election stolen or that it was rigged. And at that point, the fuse kind of went with him and he started insulting me. He called me a fool 7 times. I was very respectful back. I accepted if he wanted to call me that, that's fine. But he wasn't going to change my mind. And I said, look, you know, as a journalist, I've read everything and I've not seen the hard evidence that you keep saying exists to prove that election was rigged or stolen from you. And until I do, I'm just not going to believe that it was stolen or rigged. He couldn't accept that. He has a kind of blind, pathological belief that it was taken from him. He's entitled to that opinion. But be under no illusion that these statements that say this all ended in a really cozy way, and then at the end, I thanked him and I shook his hand, which is completely true, but then he just got up, barked at our cameras, turned the camera off, and then he just walked off. And as he walks off, he muttered loudly, and we have all this on film, so dishonest
right,
about me.
But Piers.
And I just thought that was rude and churlish, and I felt that that constituted a walkout, actually.
But Piers, I've listened to the audio put out by the Trump team of those final moments, and however ticked off the former president may have been, you know, he thanked you, you thanked him, you said great interview. It didn't sound like he was storming off in anger.
He doesn't thank me. He doesn't thank me. And when you actually see the audio is a bit grainy. You can't really hear a lot of what's going on at the end. I can tell you in the room, I was shocked by the way that ended. I was shocked that he got up and barked at the cameraman, turned the camera off. I was shocked that he then marched off and was muttering loudly, so dishonest at me. I've never had that experience with him before. So people can play semantics with what a walk-off is or what anger it looks like. I can tell you, he was angry and he was fired up, and he had been for the last 10-15 minutes of that interview and before it started he'd been shouting at me. So I think this idea was all a cozy chat between two friends is extremely disingenuous, and when people see it all in context, which we will show, I wrote a big piece about this for the New York Post in which I articulated exactly what went down, and I didn't claim it was some ferocious screaming storming off. I just said that actually right at the end he got up, barked at me, cameras off and called me dishonest and walked away. Now, you can call that what you like. I've never experienced that with him before. All right. Always been a lot more friendly than that. And the catalyst for what it was my refusal to believe that he had that election stolen from him.
Now, that happened on Fox News Sunday. Fox News, their media show. Howie Kurtz is the host. Howie Kurtz, here's what you need to know about Howie Kurtz. This guy is a far leftist. He was hired away from CNN. So he actually hosted the show that Brian Stelter, the little dwarf king, currently hosts over there. So this guy's a flaming liberal. Not once did Howie Kurtz push back on this. And you heard Piers Morgan mention New York Post. They're all owned by Rupert Murdoch. The New York Post, Fox Nation, Fox News Channel. Newsmax has a terrific piece analyzing what's going on over at Fox News right now, and they believe that Fox News Channel and Rupert Murdoch are out to destroy the, quote, monster they created. Understand that. Understand what's going on here. You cannot believe everything coming out of Fox News Channel these days. You just can't, because there is an effort afoot to sabotage whatever campaign Trump is about to launch. And that was the whole point of this. Otherwise, if the people who ran Fox Nation had an ounce or a shred of integrity, they would have just pulled this. They would have pulled the special and apologized not just to Trump, but to apologize to the viewers, because they intentionally misled their viewers. Everybody knows what happened. Everybody knows that Trump did not storm off. Everybody knows that. We've got the audio to prove it. Shame on Fox News. Shame on them for going down this path. And I'm telling you, the viewers are going to respond in kind. The question they ought to be asking is, how many subscribers does Fox Nation have? Is it actually able to maintain its workforce? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. A lot of you folks want to weigh in on this debate last night. You know what? Let's go to Gainesville, Georgia. Tom, Tom, I understand you support Purdue. You watched the debate. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I did, and I think David Perdue won that debate last night. I've just got one thing to say about Brian Kemp. There was an article come out a couple of weeks ago, told about how much the candidates were worth. When Brian Kemp run for governor, the first time they said he was worth $3 million. Today, they say he's worth $8 million. He makes $225,000 a year as governor of Georgia. Now, where'd that other $4 million come from? It probably come from Mark Zuckerberg or, you know, getting paid under the table. He sure made it some way. He didn't make it being governor of Georgia from what the taxpayers paid him. So I support David Perdue, and I'm not going to vote for Brian Kemp. If he's the Republican Party, I'll write in a vote.
So he's not getting – even if he's the nominee, Tom, you're saying Kemp is not going to get your vote.
He's the nominee. He will not receive my vote.
All right, Tom, appreciate that call. Let's go to Jennifer. Jennifer, what say you?
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I am actually supporting David Perdue. My reason, I do think he's a great man. I think he was a great leader. I think successful. I think he has the track record to help our state. But the main issue with me and Kemp was the Doug Collins lack of nomination when Isaacson's seat became available. I feel like that decision cost us the majority in our U.S. Senate. And for that, I just feel like that was an unwise decision.
Now, Jennifer, let's just jump in and remind people what happened. This is a brilliant point you're making here. So Isaacson left office. He left office and then he passed away. Okay.
Yes.
So he left office. And Kemp had to appoint someone, and Collins should have been the person, but instead he went with Kelly Loeffler, who turned out to be a disaster.
A disaster. And I think that snowballed Purdue with Warnock winning and taking that seat as well. And Trump, quite honestly, did not endorse Doug Collins. And Doug was a big supporter. I don't know if you remember, but you spoke about Fox News, but Doug was on Fox pretty frequently. And I just that is one of the biggest disappointments I've felt with our governor.
And Jennifer, I mean, at the heart of that one issue, Brian Kemp was determined to nominate or to appoint a female to that position. So Brian Kemp was playing identity politics. He was taking a page out of the Democrat playbook, and it backfired. And as a result, you've got two Democrats in the U.S. Senate from Georgia.
Correct. And this is the deal. I respect women running for office. I really do. I'm a woman. I'm probably about Kelly Loeffler's age. I do just feel like that came out of left field. I do know, you know, obviously she's very well off and powerful financially, she and her husband. But to run for office, that was one of the most unwise decisions I felt in regards to Kemp. So that is one of the main reasons I'm supporting David Perdue.
And honestly, Jennifer, that is a very well thought out argument and one that people need to be paying attention to. Jennifer, thank you for the call. We've got to take a quick break. Hang tight if you're on hold, folks.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I want to tell you about Healthy Cell. It's the next generation of dietary supplements. If you take supplements in pill form, then it's time to change. Why? Because studies show you don't absorb most of the nutrients in pill form, and they can be hard to swallow. That's why doctors and nutritionists created Healthy Cell. It's a great-tasting, ingestible gel with 165% more absorption than pills. It uses clinically proven, patent-pending, ingestible gel technology to deliver nutrients people can absorb and results they can measure, all in a pill-free experience you will love. Take a single great-tasting gel pack at home or on the go straight from the gel pack. You can mix it into drinks or blend it into a smoothie. Made in the USA, Healthy Cell's microgels contain no artificial sweeteners or colors, and it's designed to help with focus and recall, boosting your sleep and your immune system. Why take vitamins in pill form that haven't changed since the 1930s? Switch to Healthy Cell and fuel your brain and body with great-tasting, convenient nutrition. Visit HealthyCell.com. That's www.HealthyCell.com. All right, just got a message from our good buddy Wyatt, who heads up the Nevada Talk Network. We got a lot of radio stations out in Nevada that carry this program, and we love all you folks out there. He said, Todd, we're dealing with the same issue here of bad endorsements. President Trump endorsing Rhino Adam Laxalt instead of Captain Sam Brown. And we're hearing the same complaint coming from here in Tennessee with a big congressional race and also in Pennsylvania. Well, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Gus in Maine, listening to us on WLOB. Hi, Gus. What's on your mind today?
Hi. Thank you for taking the call, and thank you for all that you're doing. What I wanted to say is that Donald Trump, for 5.5 years now, he's suffered attacks and just an endless barrage. People lying about him. And
let's put Gus on hold. We've got a bad phone connection there. Gus, hang tight. Grace is going to try to work that out, smack around somebody at the phone company. Grace, get on that, please. Let's go to Tom in Oakwood, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN, our great affiliate there. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Good morning, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I watched the debate yesterday, and I thought Perdue did an excellent job. And I think election integrity has to be the focal point of this primary, because without election integrity, where does our republic go? And I think it goes beyond the governor's race, because the lieutenant governor's race is so important, because the existing lieutenant governor is a rhino and a never-Trumper. The Secretary of State, the Attorney General, a new broom sweeps clean is what my grandfather always said. And if we can't get this cleaned up here in Georgia, I'll vote. But I'm spending time and treasure to support people that really want to make a difference and clean up this process here in Georgia.
Yeah, look, Tom, you bring up a good point that there is a lot to clean up. And you guys are a microcosm there in Georgia of the battles that are going to be waged all over the country. And I'm just, to be honest, I'm a little surprised by the power of the establishment Republicans. I thought that their power had been marginalized, but that is not the case, especially at the state and local the state and the local level. And Tom, thanks for the call. One of the things, and I'll give you a great example of this. Remember back in 2020, during the election cycle, Rush Limbaugh was encouraging voters to Republicans to go and vote in the Democrat primary. There was no Republican primary challenge, so they called it. Remember this, Operation Chaos. Well, here in the Memphis area, there was a guy named Jordan Carpenter, and he's running for a local seat. I don't want to get into that, but it's a great example of how nasty some of these establishment Republicans are playing, where they're accusing this guy, who is, by the way, a military veteran, served our nation honorably. He's a lawyer, and he's a conservative. They're accusing this guy being a closet Democrat because he took part in Operation Chaos and voted for Bernie Sanders. It's laughable, but a lot of people, they're not paying attention to politics. They've got plenty of other stuff to do. You've got the NBA playoffs going on. You've got church stuff happening. You got Mother's Day coming up, and you're not going to be paying all that much attention to what's happening in politics. So you're going to be looking for the candidate when it comes time to vote, and you're going to realize, oh, wait a second, this guy is a Democrat. No, he's not a Democrat. He was just playing along with Operation Chaos. And my point is, if you have a legitimate beef with a fellow Republican, bring that up. But don't make stuff up. I mean, that's pretty low. Come on. We expect the Democrats to do stuff like that, but Republicans, we're better than that. Come on now. All right, let's go to Greg in Georgia. Greg, you've got about a minute here, so go.
Okay, I just wanted to say, I feel like I'm a voter here in Georgia. I feel like Kemp is compromised. I'm a Republican, and I'm for Perdue this time. I think he let Stacey Abrams get away with way too much, and we still don't have a signature match. He didn't call a special session of the Georgia legislature, which could have solved some of these issues, looking into the voter fraud. And then he picked Kelly Loeffler, of course. That's a whole other issue. I don't trust him at all.
Well, and you're not alone there, Greg. And again, he's just made some very poor choices. And I think the biggest problem was the Kelly Loeffler pick, because that eventually led to the Democrats controlling the U.S. Senate. And I would put that directly at the feet of Brian Kemp. Whether you agree with him on anything else, that is a provable thing that he did. And he ought to answer for that. Greg, we've got to run. Thank you for keeping it short. Coming up, big Supreme Court issue that's being heard today. Should a high school football coach be allowed to pray after a football game? Now, right now in America, it is legal for a football coach to take a knee to protest America, to protest the police, to protest the flag. But it's against the law for that same coach to take a knee to pray. Well, at this very moment, up in Washington, D.C., at the Supreme Court, the case of Coach Joe Kennedy is being heard. We're going to be talking to the folks representing him, his legal firm, our friends over at First Liberty Institute, and we're going to be taking your calls on this. Do you believe that a high school teacher, a high school coach, should be allowed to pray on public school property? 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. You can read about it over at toddstearns.com. We'll be right back, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell is back at it again. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Mike Lindell not only created the best pillow, but now he's created the best towel in the world. That's right. Mike Lindell found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton. They come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Get this, folks. You're going to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent. Normally $109.99, now just $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. That's 800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Hey, Grace Baker, I've been driving around town. You know, people are very excited about the upcoming visit of President Trump to Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, I've already seen two billboards on the interstate.
I mean, people are going bonkers over here,
you know,
because this is a heavy, deep blue part of the South.
Yeah. Part of me expected the billboards to be vandalized in some way, but they did just get put up. So we will see. I'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah. Give it some time. You never know. So that's coming up June 18th at Lander Center for all of our listeners at our flagship station, KWAM. And Mike Pompeo is going to be there, Don Jr., Guilfoyle, Kimberly, the fiancé.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
And we'll be having – the president is going to be coming on the show pretty soon to talk about that. So we'll look forward to having President Trump back on the program. So there you go. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. If you're on hold, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls this hour of the show. There is a big Supreme Court battle that's being waged and a very important case, quite frankly, one that I believe is important to the future of this great nation. We've been telling you for a long time now about the story of Coach Joe Kennedy, a football coach who was fired for taking a knee to pray after a football game. And now the Supreme Court justices are hearing that case. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Keisha Russell is with First Liberty Institute. Keisha, you guys have done a heck of a great job representing Coach Kennedy. This has to be a big day for you guys.
Oh, absolutely. We are just elated that Coach Kennedy is finally getting his day in front of the Supreme Court after 7 years.
It has been a very long time. And Keisha, for our new listeners, they may not be familiar with Coach Joe, just encapsulate what happened to Coach and why you guys are now at the Supreme Court.
Yeah, so, you know, Coach Kennedy was a high school football coach in Bremerton, Washington School District, and he would go out to the 50-yard line after the game, say a brief silent prayer by himself, and he was basically chastised by the school district, fired, and ultimately they fired him because people could see him praying.
And so this led to a lengthy court battle, and both sides seem to be invoking the religious freedom mantra. The other side, the school district, says that he's an employee and that employees can't pray on school property like that. But that's not what you guys believe.
No, absolutely not. You know, we believe that Kennedy's prayer is private speech and the government is not allowed to censor his religious private expression. That, to us, is a violation of both the free speech clause and the free exercise clause.
And I think it's important for also people to understand this is not something the coach just randomly decided to do. He had been doing this for a very long time. And then after a number of years, the school district came out and said they've got a problem.
Yeah, it was a number of years that Coach Kennedy was doing this, and it was actually after someone gave the school district a compliment about it that they decided that they wanted to interrupt that practice and essentially scold Coach Kennedy for it and eventually fire him.
What is the argument that First Liberty Institute is going to be making at the Supreme Court today?
Well, yeah, this morning we just said, look, the school district cannot censor Coach Kennedy's private religious expression, and their sort of ideas about the Establishment Clause is really overreaching to silence what is, in effect, private religious speech and expression. So that's the argument we made this morning before the nine justices, and, you know, we're hopeful that Coach Kennedy will prevail.
Keisha Russell with First Liberty Institute is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Keisha, were there any, you know, a lot of times the justices will ask questions. Can you talk about the tone or the tenor of the questions that were asked?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the questions had to do with sort of how to draw the line between when a public school employee can pray, when it's private speech, when it's considered government speech. And, you know, our side really, I think, did a great job with saying, look, you know, we're willing to talk about and acknowledge what Coach Kennedy can do when he's in the locker room with them and when he's clearly in an instructional mode. But when he wants to pray by himself, he should be allowed to do that, and that shouldn't matter just because other students can see him. Now, the other side kind of went really general with their position and said that, well, even if it is private speech, we should be able to censor it anyway because we might be worried about, quote-unquote, the Establishment Clause, which is just an absurdly general argument that I don't think the justices were buying.
Okay, so where do we go from here? What is the next step? The arguments have been made. Where do we go from here?
So from here, the justices will go into a conference sometime this week and likely talk about the case and see where their votes are, and then they'll write the opinion, and we should get an opinion sometime this summer.
Keisha, I'm always fascinated by what happens behind the scenes at the Supreme Court, and I was very surprised to learn that most of these decisions are already made, like, just within a very short time span. So it's not like they're debating this behind closed doors for weeks or months.
No, usually the justices have a pretty good idea of where they stand. The oral argument can help sway them one way or the other sometimes, but usually they have an idea, and the arguments help them sort of firm up their position. And then they'll go into the chambers and vote, or go behind closed doors and vote in the conference, and then they'll decide what will happen. And usually, yeah, these cases are decided pretty shortly after the oral arguments. It's just the public doesn't find out until later, and it does take time to write these opinions and hash them out.
Now, one other question before we let you go, Keisha. As far as landmark cases, will this be one of those landmark cases that could impact every football coach in America, or is this going to be unique to Bremerton, Washington?
No, it'll definitely have a widespread impact, not just on coaches, but on public school employees throughout, and teachers too. I think the Supreme Court will hopefully say that, you know, these public school employees don't lose all their constitutional rights just because they choose to be employed by a school district.
Fascinating. Well, congratulations. What a great day for First Liberty Institute. We know that you guys, some of the best attorneys in the nation, and you have chosen to dedicate your careers to fighting for these kinds of cases and these kinds of great Americans. So, Keisha, thank you.
Thank you so much for your support, Todd. We really appreciate it.
All right. Keisha Russell, everybody, from First Liberty Institute, one of the great attorneys there. And we do a lot on this program to support those guys. They could be making hundreds of thousands of dollars at private law firms, but they choose to dedicate their time taking on these cases free of charge. And as you heard Keisha say, this is going to be one of those landmark cases that will impact every public school worker in America. And that is a great thing. The question, very simple, should teachers, should coaches, high school coaches, middle school coaches, should they be allowed to pray during or after football games? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Now, we have a big event happening in Memphis, Tennessee, April 30th. That's this coming Saturday, and we want you to be there. It's an opportunity to meet me and Grace Baker. Our team will be there. We'll be signing books. I'll be speaking. And we have a lot of other great conservative patriots that are going to be a part of this weekend gathering on April 30th in Memphis. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Senator Rick Scott, Pastor Robert Jeffress, Mark Meadows, Ryan Helfenbein, among the many conservative leaders who are going to be here speaking and leading workshops to show you and to train you on how to take back your local communities. We have information on our live show blog. You can also go to citizensforamericafoundation.com. And all this week, we are providing you free registration. All you have to do is use our code, which is SPRING 2022, and that's going to get you in the door free of charge. That includes a lunch and all of the workshops and the speaking sessions. So, again, you can find that over on the live show blog, and we hope to see you April 30th here in Memphis, Tennessee.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Coming up, we're going to get into these tweets here. There are some messages, some text messages coming out. CNN's got the goods on this. And Matt Schlapp warned us in advance, our good friend over at American Conservative Union, warned us these tweets were going to be coming out, or text messages, rather. We're going to get into that. And there's some pretty shocking stuff. These are texts between a lot of people that are on this program, and we're going to work through that coming up in just a moment. I do want to get to some of these calls, though. Let's go to Kit, who's listening to us in Georgia. A lot of folks fired up about this big governor's race there. Kit, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I would like to speak about a specific issue. I'm a veteran of the United States Navy and a proud Georgian. When David Perdue was senator, for six years, he served, and we tried like mad to get him to help us as veterans. No help, he wouldn't even listen. Georgia's VA medical centers, there's three of them. Atlanta was rated the worst in the nation out of 150-something plus medical centers in the nation. Augusta and Dublin were in the bottom 5% of the nation. Our nursing homes were in even worse shape. Dublin was rated one of the worst seven in 2017, one of the worst seven in the nation by the Boston Globe and New York Times, or USA Today. Atlanta was so bad they finally closed it in the middle of the night and moved the veterans out to different places in three states. Our VISN network, which oversees Georgia, Alabama, and South Carolina, is the worst in the nation and continues to be that way. David Perdue would not have anything to do with that, even though he ran on a veterans' issues. Johnny Eikson, that was our senator, senior senator, was chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee at the same time, got nothing out of him till the day that he retired. We were the worst in the nation. Brian Kemp, on the other hand, is in charge of the Georgia Department of Veterans Services. The board members are all appointed by the governor, and it's run by the governor. They didn't want to have anything to do with communicating with veterans and taking care of us and making sure that our issues were taken care of and the veterans of Georgia were represented and given the highest quality of care that the Veteran Administration and the Veteran Health Administration so kindly proposes. And I want to make a comment about Joe over in Ellijay. He's a big buddy of Perdue. He talks about it all the time on all kind of radio stations. But right up the road from him in Jasper, Georgia, we had a VA clinic being built there. It was years late in being finished, and when it was finally finished, 3 years later, they finally opened it because they couldn't staff it or something. Where was Joe in using his power with Perdue and the politicians that he claims to make sure that our veterans were taken care of over there in his neck of the woods?
So, Kit, who do you support in the governor's race?
I would support Brian Kemp right now. But I think that Ms. Taylor should, maybe she's a breath of fresh air and all this little bickering and fighting that's going on should stop, and we should get a leader that's willing to serve the people of Georgia as a public servant and not a politician.
All right.
One of the people that commented about how Mr. Kemp had become a multi-millionaire while in office, Mr. Perdue's building him a big mansion down there on the coast of Georgia. Maybe he needs to go down there and live in his big mansion, and maybe Mr. Kemp needs to come go fishing with him down there and let somebody run the state.
It sounds to me, and Kit, thank you for the call. It just seems to me that in politics in general, that the average Republican is a little tired of these super wealthy establishment Republicans basically looking down on the rest of us. This condescending attitude they have. I know that there are people right now running for office as Republicans, and their daddies, they're living off their daddy's trust fund accounts. They haven't gone out there and done anything. They're just living. They're either living off daddy's trust fund money, or they're lifelong politicians who have made millions and millions of dollars on the backs of taxpayers. And that goes for both ways, by the way. I mean, when you look at the wealthiest people in the Congress right now, there are just as many Democrats on that list as there are Republicans. And over the years, and this really goes all the way back to the Ronald Reagan years, over the years, you've seen the Republican Party broaden its base. And now the base of the party is, in fact, good, hardworking, middle class people. And they look at nonsense like what's going on in Nevada right now. And Pennsylvania, and to some extent in Michigan and Ohio, and they're saying, wait a second, where are the Republicans that represent our values? And that is a fair statement to make, and it's a fair observation that Kip makes, and maybe just maybe, and we're going to try to get the we're going to get Ms. Taylor on the program. We'll get her on the program so we can hear her policies. Because maybe it is time for a little bit of a different voice, a fresh face in the Republican Party down in Georgia. Maybe that's the case. So CNN has unleashed a new collection of text messages. And I want to preface this by saying this is all coming from the January 6th committee. They're leaking like a sieve. But the text messages they have leaked out, and most of them are between lawmakers and Mark Meadows, it seems to me that it exonerates just about everybody that's been accused of supporting an insurrection. So I'm going to go, and again, a caveat, we don't have all of the text messages. But what we've got, I feel very confident sharing with you, because it literally exonerates many of the people that have been accused of leading the insurrection. So here we go, and this is, again, these are the text messages that were coming out on January 6th in real time. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene to Mark Meadows. Mark, I was just told there is an active shooter on the first floor of the Capitol. Please tell the president to calm people. This isn't the way to solve anything. Does that sound like she's trying to stage an insurrection? You know what? You're exonerated, MTG. Mike Mulvaney to Mark Meadows. Mark, he needs to stop this now. Can I do anything to help? Mick Mulvaney, you're exonerated. Congressman Barry Loudermilk to Mark Meadows. It's really bad up here on the Hill. They have breached the Capitol. Mark Meadows to Barry Loudermilk. POTUS is engaging. Barry Loudermilk, thanks. This doesn't help our cause. Congressman William Timmons, the president needs to stop this ASAP. Mark Meadows, we're doing it. Don Trump Jr., he's got to condemn this crap. I filled in the blank there, but that's not the word he used. He's got to condemn this crap ASAP. The Capitol Police tweet is not enough. Don Trump Jr. to Mark Meadows again. This is one you go to the mattresses on. They will try to blank his entire legacy if this gets worse. Reince Priebus, all caps to Mark Meadows. Tell them to go home. And it goes on and on and on. MTG to Mark Meadows. Mark, we don't think these attackers are our people. We think they're Antifa, dressed like Trump supporters. Louis Gohmert, Capitol Police told me last night they've been warned that today there'd be a lot of Antifa dressed in red Trump shirts and hats and likely would get violent. Good that Trump denounces violence, but could also add and well demand justice for those who became violent and get to the bottom of what group they're with. It looks to me like everybody they've accused of being a part of the insurrection was doing everything within their power to denounce this thing. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. We have more text messages. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. right. Franklin Graham now weighing in on the Disney controversy. He says that Walt Disney Company, their morals are in the gutter. Disney now saying they're on the record. They're saying they don't believe parents should have a say in their kids' education. They say that little preschoolers should be taught about sex education. And they also promise they're going to infuse all of their programs with LGBTQIA plus content. And that, look, that is their right. They're a company. They can do whatever they think is going to make them a dollar or two. It just seems to me that back in the old days when I was growing up, the predators would drive around in white vans. Now they wear mouse ears. It's not a good look for Disney. All right, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us the great congresswoman from Florida, Kat Kamick, with us. Kat, it's been a while. Hope you're doing good.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. You know, your governor down there, Ron DeSantis, the guy is, I tell you what, he's got man parts on that. I'll tell you that much.
You know, I've never heard anyone say it quite like that, but on behalf of all Floridians, thank you. We appreciate and really, really enjoy the fact that our governor has a set of cojones.
Yeah, you know, it's, Kat, I mean, it's, and what a lot of, and I know that he's getting a lot of blowback from conservatives over the decision to take away Disney's private government. But the fact of the matter is, we need to be playing this game. This is what's called hardball, and we need to be playing it from day one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and what people fail to realize about these special districts is, the special district has allowed Disney World to operate as its own entity and government, right? So they have their own fire department, for example. And when you take away the special district, not only are they now going to be paying taxes to the municipality and the county governments that they have their footprint in, but when you think about this whole issue of predators, right? And I think that there's a huge distinction between the LGBTQ community and the predators. There needs to be a clear distinction between that. You cannot conflate the two. But the thing that I would say is that what incentive would Disney, if they had sexual predators working for them, which we know that they have had in the past, because they've had employees who have been caught up in multiple law enforcement stings across the state of Florida, what incentive would they, as an independent entity, as their own self-governing body, would they have to take on their own and clean their own house? Well, it's clear that they have no incentive. So this is just another way of looking at how getting rid of that special district, that unique special status for Disney, is going to impact Disney as a company and as an entity within the state of Florida. I like to say you win, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. Well, there you go, Disney. You waded into an issue that you had no business, quite literally, getting into, telling parents that they did not have a right to determine through the education system that they didn't want teachers talking to their kids about sex at age 5, 6, 7, and 8. I think that's a pretty common sense position, which is why you see Republicans and Democrats supporting this bill. That, to me, I think is something that needs to be made clear, is that this bill had nothing to do with the LGBT community. It had everything to do with telling teachers that you're not going to be talking about sex with my child. And also, yes, Disney is a private company, and now they will learn to enjoy all the benefits, which include the taxes that they will pay in the state of Florida now that their special status is stripped. I think that it's been a long time coming.
And Kat, to your point, you have groups like the Log Cabin Republicans, which is a gay Republican group. They have been out there denouncing what Disney did as well. So you've got a very large group of the gay community that is just as outraged about what Disney is up to as everybody else.
And I think the Log Cabin Republicans have done a phenomenal job in supporting legislation, not just this particular bill, but legislation across the board that has been very conservative and has really worked to try to empower parents. And so hat tip to them and the work that they have done, for sure. But, you know, I read that bill it's 7 pages. It not once in the text mentions anything about gay. I think it gets back to this whole agenda that we've all been seeing as conservatives around the country, that states and big government advocates are now trying to tell parents that the state knows better than the parent, that we should not have control over our children's education. And I think that is a much bigger issue than what we're seeing just playing out at Disney, which is disgusting. But I think we're getting to that point, that turning point, the crossroads, where we're saying, no, our parents have every right and then some to make sure that their children are receiving an education that is rooted in what our founding fathers envisioned, and a focus on the basics, not on the extracurricular that we have been seeing bleed in, you know, but really just an emphasis on education and how it's supposed to be, a focus on, you know, reading and writing and arithmetic. We have continued to slip in standings around the world in terms of our educational outcomes. And we know for a fact that if you are by the third grade not literate, if you cannot read by the third grade, you are most likely headed down a lifetime of crime. And the studies, the data, the science, it shows that. Wouldn't we be much better off if our teachers were focused on getting the ABCs done rather than talking about gender identity and sex with our kids? I think so.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Kat. Kat Kamick on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congresswoman from Florida. Kat, we're getting more information about this horrible story from the border where a Texas National Guard soldier, Bishop Evans, 22 years old from Arlington, Texas, this young man drowned trying to rescue two alleged drug smugglers in the Rio Grande River. Just a horrible, horrible story.
Todd, I'm actually starting to shake. I'm getting so mad just thinking about it. First and foremost, I mean, our thoughts and prayers are with the family and of course the department, you know, his fellow soldiers and the Border Patrol agents that have worked alongside him, along with Texas DPS. This whole situation just breaks your heart multiple times over. I think of the times that I've been down to the border and I have watched coyotes dangle infants off the side of the raft and threaten that if, you know, we didn't step back on the banks of the Rio Grande, that they were going to throw that child in, and how every single man and woman who had a uniform on, they were willing to jump in that water at any given moment to save that child. And here we have a situation where this National Guardsman, he was willing to go in and save these people who were clearly drowning. And of course, not knowing that they were running drugs, they weren't, you know, he had no idea. He was just trying to save their life. And they are now sitting in jail, and they were coming to our country with the worst of intentions. And it just makes me so angry, as I know it makes so many other people angry. And you think about the drugs that those particular illegals, and I call them that specifically because that's what they are. They're illegal. They were bringing drugs into this country. Just a week and a half ago, one of my sheriffs in my district called me and said they had found 2 pounds of fentanyl. And it was this giant brick of fentanyl that had a stamp on it. And that stamp was a Border Cartel logo. And it just, it kills me, because that fentanyl that was found in my district came from the border. And we have had more families broken up and just destroyed from these overdoses and the continual flood of opioids and fentanyl into our country, destroying communities, it's destroying families, destroying lives. And this is just another tragedy that we're going to see. And this will get worse as Title 42 gets taken away. We need to keep Title 42 in place. And I know that's something that you've been very vocal about talking about on your show as well. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. And Kat, real quick before we let you go, this breaking news, the Wall Street Journal now reporting that a deal for Elon Musk to buy Twitter is imminent. Elon Musk tweeting just about an hour or so ago, I hope that even my worst critics remain on Twitter, because that is what free speech means. This could be pretty exciting news.
I tell you what, if I had a bottle of champagne in my office, I would pop it, because this is a long time coming. You know, I think we have reached a point in our society where social media has become the new public square. And with that comes certain responsibility, and we've seen the continual assault on conservative voices and opinions just because the left doesn't like them. Well, today's announcement that Elon Musk is taking on Twitter and going to be the head dog, that to me is a sign that things are at a turning point. And I think you're seeing that even the left is waking up, recognizing that silencing and prohibiting our First Amendment rights from being exercised on these platforms isn't a long-term sustainable agenda. And so this is a huge win for the First Amendment. It's a huge win for our Constitution. And thank God we live in America where our Constitution continues to stand firm and as the beacon of hope and of what free men and women can do. And this is the cornerstone of it. So cheers and kudos to Mr. Elon Musk for taking this on.
Well said. Kat, we're going to leave it there. Always appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thank you so much, Todd. Have a great week.
All right. Congresswoman Kat Kamick, everybody, from the great state of Florida, great American patriot, and a lot to unravel there in that conversation. Of course, the big breaking news out there on the border, the death of that Texas National Guard member. And it is a reminder that the Biden administration is more concerned about Ukraine's border with Russia than it is our border with Mexico. Friends, since November of last year, the stock market has plummeted. Gold has been on the rise. Gas prices, insane. Stock market, volatile. Inflation, worse than it's been since the 1980s. But the good news is you have options. Gold prices are rising as investors turn to gold for protection, and Legacy Precious Metals is the only company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You need an investment that's going to protect your wealth and retirement. That's why I want you to call Legacy Precious Metals today. Legacy Precious Metals can advise you on all your options for investing in gold and silver. You can speak to an IRA expert right now at Legacy Precious Metals, 866-528-1903. That's 866-528-1903. You can also download a free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Now, here's a crazy story. So, there is there's a big dispute in the Memphis, Tennessee area about property rights, and this is bizarre. So, check this out, folks. And there's a big battle going on for a local state race in the Memphis area, and you've got two Republicans going at it. One of the Republicans we suspect is behind the shenanigans here, but it turns out that this person running for office, his wife happens to be a Republican county commissioner. According to the new information coming out, they don't even live in the county. So there was some sort of a snafu on the districting lines or whatever, the county line. So half of a subdivision is in a neighboring county. It's not even in Shelby County, which is where Memphis is. It's located in another county. But when you actually drill it down to find out what part of the neighborhood is in what county, there are some houses that are literally split in half. So half of the house is in one county and the other half is in the other county. And this is all because of a bunch of Republican shenanigans, establishment Republican shenanigans. And I know that our friends over at KWAM are all over this as they're rooting out this infestation of establishment Republicans in the area. It's a terrible thing because once you get the infestation, they continue to multiply. But could you imagine having a house and you find out that half your house is in one county and the other half is in the other? So are you like doubling up on taxes now? Do you have to pay taxes to both counties? It's unbelievable. Anyway, we'll keep you updated on that story. Meanwhile, have you heard about the sheriff down in Santa Rosa County, Florida? Now, look, crime has been off the charts all over America. No doubt about it. But it's been especially bad in Santa Rosa County, where they've had these burglaries, and people are breaking into houses. And the sheriff finally said enough is enough. So there was this guy that apparently tried to break into a house, a number of houses, and one of the homeowners fired back and fired a shot, did not hit the burglar. But the sheriff wants to find out who this person is, and they're not in trouble. As a matter of fact, the sheriff of Santa Rosa County, Florida, his name is Bob Johnson. He says that he wants more homeowners to shoot the burglars. So if you've got somebody that's burglarizing and you catch them burglarizing your house, the sheriff says, hey, feel free to shoot the bad guy. In the long run, you're going to be saving the county money. I like this guy. I like how he thinks, Sheriff Bob. So anyway, he says that he does want to talk to the person who fired the shot and missed the burglar. He says that person is not in trouble. He just wants to get them some gun training so next time their aim will be more accurate and it'll be able to take out the bad guy. No, I'm not making this up. This is great. Here's the quote. He says, if somebody's breaking into your house, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County. As a matter of fact, we prefer that you shoot them. I love it. Good for you, Sheriff. And you know what's going to happen? People in Santa Rosa County, the bad guys, are going to think twice about trying to break into somebody's house there. That's all I'm trying to say. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up in the next hour, excited to have Franklin Graham, who's going to be dropping by. He has some things to say about Disney, but also they're doing something incredible, just incredible for our veterans who are maybe going through some difficult times in their marriages. And they had a big gathering in Orlando, and we're going to tell you all about that. Also, we have a brand new function on the app. And I've got to share this info with you. This is great stuff. So here's the deal. When you go to the app and you'll see three bars at the top. And if you click on that, you'll see that you're now able to leave us a voicemail message. It's called Shout Out. And so if you go to our live show blog, and we have a direct link to our app, and if you download the app, you'll be able to send us a voicemail shout out, and we'll play those on the air. So maybe you have something that you really want to take me to task on. Leave us a message. We'll play it back. Or you folks out there in Wichita, you know, we carry the great radio station there carries us a little delayed. You can also leave us a shout out during the show, and we'll actually be able to get that. And we will play that back on our program. So, again, go to ToddStarnes.com, click on the live show blog, and download the app. It's free of charge, and you'll be able to send us a shout-out. And, you don't use bad language, but if you do, we got to bleep you out. So don't use – Grace has to hear this stuff. All right, folks, we got to take a break here. ToddStarnes.com, the website. We'll be right back, America. Stick around.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I have never seen the left get triggered in real time. It is not a pretty thing, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Good to have you with us. Hour three of the big show underway. The word coming from the Wall Street Journal, a deal has been reached. Elon Musk is soon to be the new proprietor of Twitter, and the left has gone bonkers. Many people are threatening to go somewhere else. They don't want to be a part of any organization that supports free speech. Sean King from the New York Daily News. Wow, this guy is he's a piece of work, this one. He's a poser, Sean King. We don't know. He says he identifies, but we'll just leave it at that. Sean King writing, at its root, Elon Musk wanting to purchase Twitter is not about left versus right. It's about white power. Can we just say something here? Actually, Sean King may not be aware of this, but Elon Musk is, in fact, an African. He is a South African. So he is at the very essence more African than Sean King is, who was born in America. Anyway, Sean King goes on to say the man was raised in apartheid by a white nationalist. He's upset Twitter won't allow white nationalists to target and harass people. That's his definition of free speech. So there you go. We'll keep you updated on more of these triggerings as they happen. But if you just be careful, you know, you're out and about today. Just be careful. The leftists are a little on edge because free speech is coming back to Twitter. That little birdie has flown the coop. All right. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We've been following the big story up on Capitol Hill, the Supreme Court hearing arguments in the case of Joe Kennedy, the high school football coach who got fired for taking a knee to pray. Joseph Backholm is with Family Research Council, and he joins us on the phone. Joseph, good to have you with us today.
Good to be with you, Chad. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joseph, this has to be an exciting day for people of faith and especially for people who want to engage in their religious beliefs in the public circle.
I think that's right. This case has been 6 years in the making, I believe, 6 or 7 years since this case originated at a Washington State, a football coach who had for years taken a knee on the middle of a field to say thanks, win or lose, whatever was happening with that school. A number of things happened, but eventually the school just said that your public religious display while you're on duty with the school makes you you can't be an employee. And they fired him for that public display. Had asked the court many times to take the case. Today they finally heard it, and we believe it's very likely the Supreme Court is going to say you can't fire people, government, because they have religious beliefs and make religious displays in their course of employment.
Why do you say that, Joseph? What was it that you heard at the arguments today that lead you to believe that?
Well, first of all, I think the fact that they took the case is an encouraging sign, because, of course, you have to get four justices to just say, we want to hear this case. And I don't think the justices that voted to hear the case would have done so if they didn't think that there was going to be a good outcome on this case. So that's to start. The fact that they took it, I think, is a good sign. But in addition, a lot of the questions that you heard during oral arguments, what became clear is that the court does not know how, and that's because there isn't really a good way to fire some, to say you can't pray on the 50-yard line, but you can still make other kinds of religious expressions in the course of your employment line, in course of your employment. Because the court can't just say, well, you can't play on the 50, but you can play on the sideline, you can pray on the 20-yard line, the end zone. The prospect of regulating this arena, if they say it's okay to fire a coach in this case, makes managing this in any other case virtually impossible.
Yeah, that's and there was another component of this case that doesn't get a lot of attention, but there happened to be a Buddhist on the coaching staff, and the Buddhist was allowed to pray on the sidelines, but they went after the Christian coach, and through the course of the back and forth, they actually told Coach Kennedy at one point, you're not allowed to bow your head, you're not allowed to clasp your hands, you're not allowed to do anything that would give anyone right. The idea that you were praying to God.
Right, and they later said that he has to, you know, there were private accommodations, like in the press box or someplace else they could take him. And mind you, this all happened pre-Colin Kaepernick, which provides some interesting context to this entire, you know, conversation about kneeling on the field, because all of these same people would say that Colin Kaepernick, of course, should be allowed to kneel on the field to express what he would describe as a protest of police brutality. But if Joe Kennedy takes the very same action, they're trying to argue that the government should be able to fire him because that's seen as a religious expression. Those you really can't reconcile. The Supreme Court understands that, and we just need to default to freedom.
The good news here is that the conservatives theoretically have a majority on the Supreme Court deciding how John Roberts wakes up in the morning. Theoretically, this could be good news for those who believe in freedom of religion in the public marketplace. And I'm glad that we're going to get this thing settled one way or the other.
That's exactly right. We do think it's good news. I think we need to continue to pray for the Supreme Court that it ultimately becomes good news. But I think those of us who value freedom of expression, freedom of religion in the marketplace should be encouraged today.
All right. Joseph Backholm from Family Research Council, FRC.org. We have a direct link to their website over on our live show blog. Joseph, appreciate the insight today.
My pleasure, Todd. Good to be with you.
All righty. Coming up in just a few moments, by the way, we're going to be speaking to our good friend Franklin Graham. He's going to be phoning in. Very busy. A lot happening on multiple stories from Ukraine to an incredible program they have for military veterans and their spouses. And, of course, Franklin Graham weighing in on what's happening with Disney as well. And we are still looking at the breaking news coming from the Wall Street Journal that a deal has been struck. Now, here's the question. Who would you like to see back on Twitter? You know, they banned so many conservatives. And it's really sort of gotten mean. I mean, it's always been mean and nasty, but at least you had President Trump there, and he was always good to trigger the left. And it was amazing how he could do that in under 120 characters. He didn't even need the full 240. He was able to do it in under 120. Who would you like to see back on Twitter? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So look, we've got a brand new feature on the app, and if you haven't downloaded our app, you got to do it. ToddStearns.com live show blog, easy to download. And now we have a shout out function. So you don't want to call the show, or maybe you're listening to us on delay. Now you'll be able to call in. I'll be able to actually get your voicemail messages called shout out. Just when you go to the app, look at the three buttons, three lines on the top left hand corner, and click on that, and you'll see where you can participate in that. And it's a great new function, and we're going to give that a tryout. So if you want to say something nasty about me, you can do that. Just keep it somewhat clean. Or if you want to, if you think we're doing a great job, you can also let us know that as well. Now, we have a lot of great sponsors for our radio program, and one that we're really excited about is called Healthy Cell. They have some incredible new products that help you boost your immune system, and it's pretty awesome. Now, if you're like me, I hate taking the pills. You know that you got to, and some of them are like the size of horse pills, and you got to take a big gulp of water every time you get a pill. Well, our friends at Healthy Cell have a brand new product. It's all gel based, so you can actually just drink it right out of the little sleeve it's in, or you can put it in a smoothie, and the stuff tastes amazing. I've been taking their Healthy Cell Sleep Gel, and that thing knocks me out. It's amazing. It tastes like blueberry, and they have all sorts of other flavors, but they're delicious and they're super simple to use. And I want you to check them out. Healthy Cell, that's CELL, HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell.com. Give it a shot and see what you think. I think you're going to love this stuff. We'll be right back, folks.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, let's get over to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend from Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, Franklin Graham, joins us. Franklin, hope you're doing good today.
Doing great. Good to hear your voice.
You know, Franklin, a couple of big stories we've been following, and I want to talk about Operation Heal Our Patriots in just a moment. But you made some headlines over some comments you made about what's happening down at Disney World and really the Walt Disney Company as a whole. Tell us about your concerns.
Well, it's just they're just pushing the gay lesbian agenda through their entertainment. And it's sad to see this happen to such a company with a great family history. And Walt Disney offered wholesome entertainment. And when I was growing up, we were not allowed to watch much television because my parents didn't think there was anything good on TV, and they were right to some degree. So, but Disney, we could always watch on Sunday evening. They let us watch the Disney program because they knew that would be a wholesome program, and it was. And my father knew Walt Disney, and they were friends. And he had a moral compass, and we see where the company is today and how immoral it is, and taking this gay lesbian agenda, transgender agenda, and they're pushing that on the American people. And I was glad to see the governor of Florida stand up to him. Most governors, most politicians fold when a big corporation like this in their state takes on the gay agenda, because they don't want to lose the support of those big corporations. But this the governor DeSantis, he doesn't care. He just stands up to them, and he's right. And I just hope that the church will pray for the governor and stand behind him and back him. And what's happening at Disney today is just incredible how far it has fallen morally from its founder and its roots that it started. And it's really what made them such a wealthy company was the family entertainment value, and they turned their back on that.
You know, going back to the early days, I watched a couple of documentaries about Walt Disney, and I've always been fascinated by his life story. So many failures and stumbles along the way, but he just kept persevering, and he had this idea for clean family fun, wanted a clean park where families could go and have a good time, right, in contrast to a lot of the carnies that were out there back in that time. And people really responded to that. The idea that you could sit down on a Sunday night and watch the Wonderful World of Disney like I did as a right. kid growing up in the 70s.
Yep. And he was an incredible guy. And my father took me to California when I was young. And not only did we go to Disneyland there in Anaheim, but we had an opportunity for me to meet Walt Disney. And he signed a couple of pictures to me when I was, I think I was about 11 at the time. And I have those pictures on my office wall.
Is that right? As a kid, being that young, did you realize who you were talking to? I mean, that had to have been an amazing moment.
Oh, of course I knew who I was talking to. He was such an approachable person, just a nice, like your grandfather, just a nice man. And he was just incredible to talk to. He worked in Asheville, North Carolina at one time for the Asheville Citizens Times. And he told me he got fired. That's what he told my father that. And my father said, "Why in the world did you get fired?" He said, "Because I doodled." And that doodling is what just made him the genius that he was.
You know, these kinds of stories, I think, serve as a reminder that moms and dads have to be so diligent. They've got to pay attention to what's coming into the house through TV, through internet, social media. And that even you know, family-friendly organizations of the past, you've got to pay attention to what your kids, you know, or what your kids are being exposed to.
No question, Tom. Listen, the world has got so much trash in it today compared to when we were growing up, and parents have to be parents, and they have to be the gatekeepers. And they're going to have to tell their kids, no, you can't have an iPhone, or no, you can't have Facebook or whatever. And the kids are going to cry and stomp their feet and get mad, but the parents have to be parents. And we've got to protect our kids from the onslaught of what I believe the devil has for our families today.
Franklin, I want to talk about this incredible ministry that you guys have. I mean, everybody knows about the great work of Samaritan's Purse, but this specific portion of that ministry, Operation Heal Our Patriots, you guys had a big reunion in Orlando, and I want you to tell our listeners what you guys are doing.
Well, we take every summer, we take couples to Alaska. This is our 11th year. And these would be military couples who have been wounded. And so the marriages in the military are having a difficult time. And you take deployments, you take a wound, and the marriages are falling apart. And so we have marriage retreat in Alaska, and they have to spend 3 to 4 hours a day in marriage counseling. And then we take them fishing. We take them bear viewing, those kinds of things, have some fun. But we work on their marriages, and, of course, we do it in Jesus' name. And we just had this weekend down in Florida, we had a reunion. We do this every year. Everyone that's been with us in Alaska, we bring them. So it's 420 couples, 1,200 total people attended the conference. And we pay all the expenses, and we continue to work on the marriages when we have these reunions.
It's a beautiful thing. And, folks, we have direct links to Operation Heal Our Patriots, so you can learn how to support that great ministry and that great organization. Franklin, real quick, we've got about 45 seconds here. I know that Ukraine, you have been over there, a lot of people in the ministry. How are things going? How's the Christian community there in Ukraine holding up?
Well, we got 3,200 churches we're working with, Todd.
Wow.
And these are churches we've been working with for a number of years. These are the people of Ukraine are incredible people. More people go to church in Ukraine than any nation in Europe. And it's the war is very difficult. They're going through a very difficult time, tough time, but where they're working with the churches.
I just think that's wonderful, and we're going to be praying for all of your team members as they minister over there. Franklin, a lot to pack into this segment. Thank you so much for the great work you're doing for our country, for our troops, and for the great people of Ukraine.
Thank you. God bless.
All right, Franklin Graham, everybody. And again, if you are looking for something to support, Operation Heal Our Patriots. I just cannot think of a more important ministry right now, standing alongside our wounded warriors and their spouses as they're working through things of their marriage. We've got links to that up on our live show blog. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Introducing a new segment here on the Todd Stearns Radio program. We want to help you get jobs. Many of you looking for work in Biden's America. Some of you might not be able to find jobs, but there are some available just north of the border. The University of Waterloo, that's Canada, not Iowa. Sorry, that's Jeff Stein country, by the way. KXEL. There is a job vacancy at Canada's University of Waterloo. It's only open to qualified individuals. Well, that's good, because you would not want unqualified individuals to take a job. Training the minds and molding, sculpting the clay that is the future of Canada, eh? So they're opening up this job to qualified individuals, but there's a caveat. You have to self-identify as a woman, as transgender, as non-binary, or two-spirit. Now, Grace Baker, I know you're a woman.
I am, so I fill out one of those categories.
But technically, so do the men, because if you're transgender, you're a man who's identifying as a woman.
Whoa, that's deep, man.
Or what if you're non-binary? You could be a man, but you identify as, you know, non-binary.
That's a great point.
Now, this two-spirit thing is what confused me.
Yeah, me too.
I had to look this up. You know, it's on the Facebook. You know, God created male and female, and then Facebook created everything else.
Fair enough.
And they got some freaky genders going on there now.
Oof.
So two-spirit, here's the definition of two-spirit. It means same-sex attraction, that's technically gay.
Okay.
And a white or lesbian. It's, here we go. So two-spirit means same-sex attraction and a wide variety of gender variants.
Well, that's really vague.
So that's like everything.
Yeah.
It's like the produce section of sexuality.
My definition says modern, pan-Indian, umbrella term used by some indigenous North Americans to describe Native people in their communities who fulfill a traditional third gender ceremonial and social role in their cultures. Sorry, that was a mouthful.
I'm just tossing my definition out the window.
Yeah. Sorry, mine was better.
Nancy Pelosi is going to appear in a drag show.
Oh,
now,
a horror.
There's a lot to unpack here. So,
does this mean
that she's going to... Because the whole point of drag is you're a dude who dresses like a woman.
Maybe she's changing her gender.
Is she going to dress as a man?
Mm.
Or dress man-ish?
I don't know. But I know that this has not aired yet, but it's going to be on what, RuPaul's reality TV show that he has?
Yeah, RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars. This is going to be on Paramount Plus, not CNN minus.
What a shame.
The show premieres May 20th, and Pelosi is going to appear in a commercial, and she's going to have a few lines, and she's going to say, "Can I get an amen? And she's also apparently using the word work it.
Work it, girl.
Oh, here we go. Here's what Pelosi wrote. All I can say is you better work. It's like B-E-T-T-A. Better work.
W-E-R-K. She spelled work like W-E-R-K.
W-E-R-K. Mm-hmm. All I can say is you better work.
You gotta work on your impression.
She doesn't drink, and that just surprises me more than anything else, but she's a teetotaler.
The fact that she is this crazy sober, but she's addicted to ice cream, we do know that. So she's really got a sugar addiction. So
there you go. And we were at dinner Friday. We all went out.
Yes.
We social. Thank you for inviting me to social.
It's a lot of fun.
We went to a place called the Hen House.
Yes.
Someone told me afterwards, I didn't really figure this out until later. They go, Todd, that's like a woman's place.
There are guys there.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's not like a frilly thing. No. I'm just saying. But it was great food, great entertainment. We had a good time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of guys just aren't secure in their, you know, masculine nature enough to go into a place
okay.
called Hen House.
I just thought it was a chicken joint. I, honest to goodness, I thought it was a fried chicken place. But it was a pretty fun, you know, upscale kind of a, you know, millennial thing.
Yeah, very
millennial.
It was
great. While we were there, though, the photos came down from North Carolina with Madison Cawthorn, speaking of drag.
Oh, yes.
And he was wearing the frilly women's unmentionables.
He does have good taste.
Madison Cawthorn. And so Cawthorn is saying, Look, a lot of people were giving the guy a hard time. Was it The Hill or Politico? One of those two leaked the photos. And the whole thing is that Madison Cawthorn proclaims to be a very conservative evangelical Christian who has an affinity for women's undergarments. That's the allegation. But
sure.
Cawthorn now says, no, these were taken years before he went to Congress.
Mm.
And he was on some sort of a cruise. And a cruise ship, not that kind of a cruise.
Mm-hmm.
But he was out on a cruise ship, and it was like a party, and there's really nothing to this.
I'm suspicious. It's suspicious.
I don't care one way. I mean, if he was in college and he was doing something, I mean, you know, you do stupid stuff in college.
That's true.
It's not like I don't think he was making some sort of a statement or it was a wink nod.
I think it's just, I don't know. If you're going to portray yourself one way and act another, it's just a little disingenuous to
me. How many times is the guy going to get pulled over and they let him go? Everybody knows he doesn't have a license.
True. He's gotten pulled over several times.
I mean, at
recently.
Does he not have to obey the law there in North Carolina?
Clearly not.
I'm just asking. I don't have a dog in that hunt. So I can't unsee those pictures, Grace.
Yeah, they were pretty bad.
It really almost took away my appetite at the hen house.
Yeah.
Almost, but the chicken sandwich with the Tabasco onion rings was delicious.
Yeah. That'll solve the problem.
All right. I don't know. You folks in North Carolina, he's your guy. Does that stuff bother you? I mean, this is one of those congressional races where Cawthorn is going to have a Republican opponents. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Washington Examiner says that Joe Biden is having trouble with suburban women and mothers on issues ranging from parental rights to the China virus shutdowns and the mandatory vaccines for kids younger than 5 years old. Washington Examiner, this is Naomi Lim, who is the White House reporter. Siding with mothers is widely considered to be a winning campaign strategy, according to political analyst Bertram Johnson. There's a reason why motherhood and apple pie is a cliche, and that's because Americans find both to be wholesome and appealing. It could be risky for a candidate to be framed as not supportive enough of this group. And they're looking at polling data that shows about 38% of suburban voters approve of Joe Biden's job that he's doing as president. That is horrible. As a matter of fact, even Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, even she understands what a bad situation Joe Biden is in and the Democrats. And the Democrats are now bracing for massive losses this fall. And this is why it is so vitally important that we get the right Republican candidates elected to Congress and the U.S. Senate. We can't have a bunch of rhinos up on Capitol Hill. We need Republicans that are going to be able to fight tooth and nail. All right, got to take a break here. Just a reminder, April 30th, we want you to come to the Culture Engagement Summit. Mark Meadows, Marsha Blackburn, Rick Scott, among the many speakers, Robert Jeffers and myself. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to learn a lot. It's going to be very practical, hands-on stuff. If you want information, go to citizensforamericafoundation.com, or you can also find a link to the info over at toddstearns.com in our live show blog. We'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, so the latest is they have stopped trading shares of Twitter stock. That means that a decision is forthcoming and is imminent. We will soon find out that Elon Musk is, in fact, the new owner of Twitter. Honestly, the first thing you ought to do is restore President Trump's Twitter account. Then all will be well with the world. By the way, remember the story last week, Grace Baker? We were talking about Mike Tyson. He was on board the JetBlue flight. And the whole thing is on video where you had some obnoxious drunk.
I remember that.
Who was like poking at the bear.
Yes,
and
I remember.
Then the bear turned around and swatted him with his paw.
Quite effectively, I might add.
Knocked him silly. So now the guy's lawyered up. So he's gonna.
Oh boy.
So the lawyer's saying, oh, this was a man who loved and respected Mike Tyson. And he was just trying to show his love and adoration.
Oh, well, not very many people can say, you know, they were punched by the guy, so tough love.
True. You know what? I'm in Mike's corner on this one.
I am too.
The guy got it. He got what he deserved.
Yeah,
you're going to go around and you're going to do something like that to Mike Tyson. You know, there's nothing in the Constitution that says, you can't get whacked for being a moron.
True.
That guy was, speaking of morons, what about these gals, these environmentalist tree huggers that are running onto the court of the basketball games? What's up with that?
I saw that happening again. This has happened like three times in the past few weeks. The Minnesota Timberwolves, there's these activists that are protesting the Timberwolves owner because apparently something to do with a chicken farm and animal rights, and I don't even want to get into the weeds on that.
Seems to me, though, that they would be more upset at the Memphis fans for eating the chickens as opposed to the chickens growing up in bad conditions.
Well, one of these activists traveled all the way to Memphis to protest the Timberwolves owner at a Memphis game.
So my problem with all of this, where is security?
Well, in this, at least this last time, if you watch the video, the woman sitting on the sidelines and in her seat, and a security guard is watching her like a hawk, and the woman tries to get out on the court, and that security officer is on her like white on rice.
Really?
Like, boom.
Punched her? Beat her?
Like, tackled her.
Look, I'm all for that.
Yeah, and then they dragged her off the court, but it still stopped the game for a minute.
And that's the problem I have. You wonder, and that's sort of the intimacy of basketball, is the fans are literally right there on the sideline.
Exactly. And I want to know how these people are getting in.
Well, my concern is, how is the NBA going to address this? So they can either either just beef up security, or they're going to, you know, do like the hockey, you know, the NHL does with the glass around.
Yeah, I hope they don't do that.
I hope they don't. But they're going to have to do something this is crazy.
Yeah, it's getting out of hand. I mean, multiple games now.
Here's my suggestion. I say let the next time it happens, let them through. And then on national television, you tase their ass. Make sure they are like doing convulsions at center court.
Fried chicken.
And then have people literally jump on top of the person, like body slam the person, and then drag them off. Just drag them off by the hair.
And be like, anyone else want to try this?
Anybody else? Anybody? You want to try it? Come on, tree hugger. That's all. I'm just saying that there's got to be a price to pay for doing that.
That's fair.
So otherwise, people are going to keep doing it.
Of course, they're going to keep pushing the envelope.
That's right. But whoever it is, male, female, just, you know, when you step onto that court, you're breaking the law.
Yep.
You know what you're doing, and you get what's coming to you. I just think somebody needs to be tased.
Want the spectacle of it all.
Crank the voltage. You can't be, look, you cannot pander to these people.
No, Grace. You can't.
You got to lay down the law.
I'm just amused. It's like tonight's halftime show, tasing the activist.
You can play it on the, you can replay it and add some music to it, and people would go nuts in the stands.
Exactly.
They'd go nuts.
Slow motion.
I love it. And you know that people at Memphis, because I heard the hecklers, you know, they were not very happy.
No.
And they were telling the police in some very direct terminology where to send the offender.
Yes. Memphis fans are not shy about that.
All right. What is this, game four now? Five? For the, it'll be game five, right?
Yes. Game five coming back to Memphis tomorrow night.
And will this be the deciding game? We've got another one.
No, we're going to have to get another one because we lost by one the other night.
Mike, you know, what is it with the NBA playoffs?
What do you mean?
Why so many games?
Because it's best of seven. I mean, it's really whoever gets to four first, but best of seven.
And so when are the championships, June?
Not till June.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like months of...
But then after that, there's like nothing. I like that it fills the void before college football comes back, because I don't care about the NFL.
College football. I was down at the stadium. What are they calling it now? It used to be AutoZone.
The Liberty Bowl?
The Liberty Bowl. But they don't call it the Liberty Bowl now. It's something else.
There's some bank now that like owns it, but I'm going to be real with you. We're all going to call it the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, I am. That's, you know, unless they're advertising.
But you're thinking the AutoZone Liberty Bowl.
The AutoZone Liberty Bowl, but it's not the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. It's something else.
Can't keep up with it all.
It's crazy. So anyway, they had the Blues. You got a chance to meet the team, the Memphis Tigers.
The spring football game.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. They had a barbecue rib-eating contest. That was kind of a wash.
Was there any tofu?
No. Good. Not in that crowd.
Good.
No. Wrong part of town. They had a Bloody Mary contest, but only one person entered.
Well, that's anticlimactic.
So I'm not sure. And they had something called a moonshine pickle. Have you ever heard of these?
Nope.
So I guess they put the pickles in moonshine.
And soak them.
And soak them. Oof. And then you're supposed to, I didn't try one, but some of our colleagues did.
Yeah, I'm good. No thanks.
So since they got booted out, I guess they got kicked out of the barbecue judging contest, which was a big, that was kind of a shock.
They were rejected.
They were rejected. they were replaced by NFL players who showed up.
Oh.
And so then the guys were like, well, we were kind of in the mood for barbecue, so we went to Central Barbecue.
Ooh, love Central.
And ordered a couple of racks of ribs, and then we went to the Hen House.
It was quite the evening for you guys.
It was quite the evening indeed.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. All right, coming up tomorrow, we've got more chaos, and we'll have more of the aftermath of the Elon Musk decision to buy Twitter. That announcement coming down very soon, and we'll keep you updated on that. I'm wondering, though, how many people are actually going to go back to Twitter that have departed for other venues. I don't know. We'll have to see about that. Also, where is that story? Ah, here we go. We were telling you about Florida, the Department of Education, and they got rid of a whole bunch of math textbooks. And the problem with these math books, they really weren't teaching kids 1 plus 1 equals 2. They were actually teaching the kids critical race theory. And we're going to post this up on the website. But we actually have some of the examples, and here's one of them. This is a word problem. What, me racist? More than 2 million people have tested their racial prejudice using an online version of the implicit association test. Most groups' averages score fall between slight and moderate bias, but the differences among groups by age and political identification are intriguing. In this section's exercise set, you will be working with models that measure bias. And they actually have a formula to measure bias. This is the math class. And they go on and on and on. But basically, they want you to use polynomials to determine whether or not you are a racist. This is what they were teaching in Florida high schools and middle schools. And this is why Governor Ron DeSantis says, we've got a clean house. We're not doing this anymore. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why the most important thing that you can do is to run for your local school board and volunteer for the local textbook reading commissions. That's where the bias is coming in. Folks, we've got a skedaddle here. It's been a lot of fun today. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.